Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Welcome to Abiding in Christ. I am your guest host, Clayton Wood. Jim Wood is my wonderful father. I will be doing some of our episodes this month on Fridays. And this is an episode where I want to focus on the timeless Word of God. I'm going to read a passage in Philippians 4 and then talk about that passage, some of its implications for the political moment that we are in today, in a country that looks far from what we are called to be as believers. So, the passage I'll be reading from is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, very familiar verses, verses 8 through 14. In the New International Version, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." We are in a time when we are being pushed, catechized, discipled. We're being taught by the things that we consume, the media that we read, the media that we listen to, the songs, the movies. We live in a remarkable time in terms of a lack of trust of the media. The most recent Gallup polling showed that 28% of America trust our media. That is, I believe, an all-time low. We live in an age of disinformation, an age of propaganda, an age of lying, and people who lie, on purpose, or who promote lies, and they're just wrong, are not punished in any meaningful way. I found it absolutely remarkable and sad that Senator Dick Durbin went on in this last month, the Senate floor, literally the day after I shared something on Facebook telling us that we need to be cautious, especially as Christians who love truth and hate lies, about things that are AI manipulated, AI doctored. I warned us to be cautious, and we of varying ages may be less or more susceptible depending on how native AI feels to us, how easy it is for us to spot fakes or not. But I have Christian friends, wonderful friends, godly friends, who have been duped into sharing lies, into promoting lies. And that should not be the case for us as Christians. So I warned us, all of us, about that danger. And literally, that next day, Dick Durbin was on the Senate floor with a giant picture behind him that someone on his staff, who I assume hasn't been fired. You would assume that they would be fired 20 or 30 years ago when actions had consequences. But today, most people seem completely shielded from consequences, particularly in government. Maybe they got a raise after they made this mistake. But he was standing in front of a large AI picture that was doctored. So obviously doctored that one of the people in the picture literally had no head. And as he stands in front of this large picture of a headless man, he went on and on about how this picture tells the story and you need to trust your eyes. Now, I'm not just picking on a particular political man or political tribe or political group. There are people who unintentionally are lying within every group in America. And there are people within various political tribes who are promoting lies on purpose, promoting propaganda. But we are being fed and discipled to hate each other. We're being fed and discipled by the media to distrust others, to despise others, and to not see others as God wants us to see them. Now, right and wrong have very real standards. The Bible is 100% true. It does not change. And as believers, we are called not to edit it, but rather to be edited by it. Not to change it, not to shape it, but to let it change and shape us. But as we look to that ultimate standard of truth, as we see it change us, the Bible's very clear about loving others, about loving our neighbors as ourselves, but even about something that is so radically countercultural in our society, about loving our enemies. It's a tremendous temptation for us to dehumanize whoever we consider other. If you are a person in Minneapolis who is despising the ICE representatives, who's calling them the Gestapo, who's comparing them to Nazis, who's pretending that the people who they're arresting are going to be sent to a gas chamber instead of sent back to where they came from, you are going to find it very easy to hate the people who you are miscategorizing and who you are thinking of as less than. What absolute scumbags those Nazi, Gestapo, masked bandits are up in Minneapolis. That is not a healthy way to ever think about people. It's evil. It's wrong. That actually is also a foreign way to me to think about people. But if it's also a foreign way to you, then think about, on the other side, how easy it is to think, look at those protesters. Look at those agents of chaos. Look at those scumbags. Look at their hair. It's a warning in and of itself that they're not right mentally. Look at those losers. They don't have a job. That's why they stand outside protesting all the time. And that is not healthy. It's not wise. It's not Christ-like. Rather than thinking about others in a group identity, thinking of others as less than, thinking of others as a group that we would like to see disappear, because wouldn't we all be better off if they weren't here? We should be thinking about other people as either brothers and sisters in Christ or people who are enemies of Christ on their way to hell who desperately need a Savior, who desperately need the good news of the gospel that we received. Now, in a world where non-Christians are constantly feeding us bad news, seeking to stir fear, anger, division, hatred, knowing that that outrage, that performative anger and zeal stirs up followers and clicks and shares, what are we to do as Christians? Philippians holds the answer. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. We could stop there for a moment, whatever is true. Being a Christian, being kind and loving your enemy never includes lying. It also doesn't include agreeing with lies. Well, this person believes they're a dragon, so who am I to disagree? Well, if you're a follower of Christ, you're a truth speaker. You need to speak the truth in love, but agreeing with someone else's delusion is not helpful to them. In a world where the broad path is often loudly yelling 2 plus 2 equals 5, you must commit as a Christian to standing for the truth and saying 2 plus 2 equals 4. The truth is the truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible is true. We can know and understand it and apply it to our lives. I'm not going to list all of the lies that are being promoted by the world. I've actually written fairly extensively and recently about lies that are common in our culture. Be happy for you to learn more. And I have those posted on my website, claytonswood.com. But you can find lots of lies that I've written about that our culture is shaping us toward. But focusing on the lies is not what I want us to think about and meditate on today. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, think about such things. Where do we find truth in a world that's broken? I've had sweet, sincere friends say, Clayton, I want to read excellent journalism that never lies. And boy, do I have a hard time pointing them to a great source like that. I love the work that's being done at World Magazine. I think there's some great things there coming out of Hillsdale. I think that First Things often has excellent things in it. I think that the Wall Street Journal, for a news magazine and a major news magazine, sure gets a lot of things right. But I read Real Clear Politics, and I read right-wing propaganda and left-wing propaganda, and I realize that many people intentionally and maliciously, and others inadvertently, are saying things that aren't true. When you're called to think about such things, things that are true, where do you run? The answer, dear listener, should be first and foremost to the Word of God, the perfect, inspired, inerrant Word of God. Now, there are wise shepherds, but they're not perfect. My dad is a hero of mine, a wonderful, wise, and godly man. But I can't rely on his word, and he would agree with me. I need to check and test everything against the word of God. That is the only perfect standard. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now today, as this airs, there are global catastrophes. There are looming economic indicators that are concerning. There are domestic problems and unrest and shocking horrors that you can fill your mind with. And you will find what you're looking for if you decide, I want to see wickedness today. I want to see evil today. I want to hear some things that get me fired up. I want to feed my anger. It is not going to be hard to do that. What does it look like instead to think about what's true, what's noble, what's right, what's pure, lovely, and admirable? Well, part of it means looking for it. If you set your expectation that you are going to go to a restaurant and it is a wonderful, amazing experience with an incredible atmosphere, you're going to be thankful that you're able to eat out. As a young person who drank water except for my birthday, for all of my early years, as my dad in ministry said, son, the drinks are for a special occasion. I could enjoy just being able to have a Coke Zero or a sweet tea and tell myself this is a special night. Or I could come in as a food critic and find that the temperature is uneven, the sauce is a little bit underspiced or overspiced. You will find what you are looking for. So how do you find things that are excellent and praiseworthy? Look for them. Look for them. Well, I don't see a lot of that on the national news. Well, stop looking at the national news if that's going to be the consistent thing you're taking away from it. Look for people who love Jesus and love you, who are around you, who you can see God working in. Now, I'm saying that, but Philippians 4 is also saying that. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. One of the most amazing things in the New Testament that I think the American church doesn't get fully is the y'all of Scripture. Now, this is a national broadcast, and we even have international listeners, and we're thankful for you. But this word y'all is not in the Bible. But the southern phrase y'all, you all, is absolutely implied in the Bible. Because body life in the New Testament is people loving, following, and serving God together. And we see God at work in the lives of other people. We see God at work in the way that other people love and care for us. We also, as we know people intimately, and we know them in their flesh and who they were, we see God changing lives. I'll never forget being at the funeral of a man who I only knew in the last 5 years of his life. Tragically, that man had a son who experienced a very wicked father growing up. And the son became so emotionally overwhelmed hearing the eulogy at the funeral that he wanted to fight the pastor who was delivering it. And as I tried to make peace between those folks, knowing the grief can make people somewhat crazy, I'll never forget speaking to that young man about his dad. And he said, "That's not the man that I knew." And I was able to tell him that that is the man that I knew, but that is because God changed his life. God changed his heart. God gave him a new life. And that I was praying that his son would come to know Jesus so that the same transformation could happen within him. We are filled with peace when the God of peace is at work in lives around us, when we see marriages that looked hopeless restored, when we see conflicts that seemed intractable ending, when we see people we've known as short-tempered and mean become gracious and patient and loving. That is happening through the power of Christ, and we should be looking for it so that we can rejoice in it. Verse 10, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me." We should also be prayerfully asking God who to renew our concern for. I am praying for Iran. But you know what? I can't impact that at all. I'm not flying over there. I'm not dropping bombs on the wicked, awful rulers who are murdering innocents there. I can't even get our government to do what I think we should do and recognize Kurdistan as a nation that would be right next to them and exert great pressure against wickedness. The more time I spend about Kurdistan and Iran, the less time I'm spending thinking about renewing my concern for people I know, people I love, people who may need a call, who may need encouragement, who may need a text, who may need a meeting, who may need someone to listen to their needs and their concerns, who may need to know that someone cares about them. I'm not saying you can't care about things that are outside of your control. I am saying that should not be your focus. You were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now, the Apostle Paul speaks about something that's very challenging, if not impossible, apart from God. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. We live in an age of plenty. Oh, Clayton, not in comparison. I have a boat, but it's a John boat. You will never become content without gratitude. I'm going to say that again. You will never become content without gratitude. Gratitude is something you choose, and it changes everything about your ability to be content. At one time in my life, I desperately wanted a boat. I got a boat. When I had it, it was great for a little bit. Then the boat had some problems, which if you're a boat owner, you know is common. Then I wanted a different boat. I wanted a better boat. I wanted a different kind of boat. And then I prayerfully examined my pattern and saw the sin in it and realized that I could go from a John boat to a ski boat to a cabin cruiser to wanting to have a boat that could go further out and that could do more. And I would never reach the end of thinking about a better boat. I changed my orientation. I gave thanks to God for the boat that I had. And it was a blessing. And it was great. And today I don't even have a boat. But through God's grace, I'm able to spend time on the water with friends. And they often are kind enough to let me borrow their boat. And I'm not even responsible if something goes wrong with them. The point is not that everybody needs to get out in the lake. The point is that you are in charge of the things you're thinking about. And you're commanded here to think about what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Look for things that are excellent. Look for things that are praiseworthy. Stop feeding the outrage. Stop feeding the anger. Look for people who are making peace. Look for people who are sharing love. Look for people who you know are serving others, not because they have kind hearts, because they're uniquely different from everyone else and their flesh is good. It's not. They don't. They're serving and loving others because God loved them, because his love compels us, because we know that we deserve hell, and through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have, instead of the death that we deserve, new life forever in him. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to know more, we would love to pray for you. Please contact us. We are so blessed to be able to share with you from Ware's Valley, Tennessee, an incredible place right next to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, a place that lately has been a winter wonderland, where God still provided us with shelter from the storms, with warmth, and more importantly, even than our physical conditions, which are wonderful, with relational care, where there are dozens of people who are called by God to serve him by loving children who come from hard places. We'd love for you to come visit us. We'd love for you to know more about us. And as you think about things that are good and praiseworthy and excellent, I pray that you'll regularly thank God for the work that he's doing at Ware's Valley Ranch. You can rejoice with us looking at our pictures, following us online, WVR.org. You can see that we are very blessed. We live in a place where God's word is honored, and we seek to obey his commands, including the command to put our minds on things above. Thank you for listening today. May God bless you as your mind is renewed by his word. I pray that you will seek contentment, that you will seek gratitude, that you will set your mind on things above and that you will find the peace that comes from turning all of our cares over to the one who knows us best and loves us most, our Creator, our Rescuer, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.